Please be seated. My name is Holly McLeod, and I'm one of the elders here at Burlington East. And I'd just like to invite any visitors who are with us today to sign our guest book, which is located at the front of the church. And everyone is invited to join us for refreshments after the service. There are no additional announcements other than what is in your bulletin, so I think we should just take a moment and prepare for service.
We light the Christ candle this morning as a symbol of Christ's presence in our worship to remind us that Christ is the light of the world, and we reflect that light in everything we do, and especially our worship this morning and our call to worship.
Your call to worship is printed in your order of service, and we will read responsibly. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight.
And the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us.
Mindful of the gifts we receive and confident of the sustenance the Lord provides.
Join together in our first hymn this morning, hymn number 371, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
Thank you.
some background chatter this morning. We've got a lot of the kids from our VBS program here this morning, and they're more than welcome to be making that little bit of chatter, and that's okay. We know that you're here then, and we're all awake. And we do now come before God now with our prayers of adoration and confession, followed by the Lord's Prayer. This is a time for us to consider what we've been doing through this week, the times when we have strayed from God's call to us as Christian people and living the way that we should, a time for us to thank God as well for the many blessings that He gives us from day to day. In that mind and that hope, let us now bow our heads before God. God of peace, Your call at times appears to divide us from one another. Your call of peace at times sometimes challenges us to live differently, to accept things in our lives that maybe are unsettling. Our call of peace sometimes overwhelms us. Help us to overcome our fears, to respond in courage, a courage that we've talked about with the children all this week, a courage that is called from faith. And give us that faith, Lord, to trust the unity that is beyond our sight. Give us Your eyes to recognize the signs that are before us, the day and age in which we live, the time that You have given us each. God of hope, we come before You as well to confess our disregard often for Your care that You give us openly and freely. The times, Lord, when we doubt Your ever-presence with us, that fact that You walk with us and sometimes actually carry us through times that we could never do on our own. Forgive us, Lord, sometimes for the blindness to the signs of Your love that are very much in front of us, the simple things, the things that You give us, the air to breathe, the sun that shines, the homes that we live in, the food that we can eat. Sometimes, Lord, we're afraid to risk all of these comforts to find new life in You. Sometimes we separate ourselves from You and from others and foster divisions between those who You love. And You do love everyone, Lord, young and old and everyone in between. Help us, Lord, to amend our lives. Help us to become Your faithful people who bear Your good fruit for Your word in this world. Help us, Lord, to be a witness to those very much in their presence today, the young that were in our midst. Help us, Lord, to always be looking to You. And in this light, Lord, we come before You and we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God clearly hears our confession. He is rejoicing as we desire that amendment of our life, that time to repent, to turn completely around and stop doing what we have been doing. God lifts us from our despondency to rejoice in the company of the saints, and we are surrounded by a great cloud of that company. God acknowledges the forces that separate us and brings us to peace in Christ. We can rejoice in the knowledge of a reconciliation and a life lived in the presence of God, through the forgiveness of sin, through Christ's sacrifice. Amen. Now, the boys and girls have been here all week, and I have a slide presentation, much like we did last week for those of you that were here, but this slide presentation is from this year. Now, we saw this, the boys and girls did, on their last day yesterday, on Friday, when we were all together, and they wanted an opportunity, I guess, and so certainly that I, to share with you some of the things that we did through the week as Camp Kintail, and I'm wearing my shirt, as all the leaders wore these yellow shirts, and you can see the children are here today all wearing their blue shirts, and that helped us to pinpoint them when they did wear them. Some of them took them off at times because it was pretty warm at times too, and they get, well, you'll see what we did. I wanted to just share this moment, a thank you to all the volunteers from our congregation that actively helped during this week. Some people were able to come for just a morning or an afternoon, or some stayed through the entire week. We couldn't have done this without your help. Camp Kintail, the three girls that were here, they do a lot of the programming for us, and they certainly have the Bible content and the lesson plans, but our volunteers were here to support them and to prepare food and, well, to just help wrangle kids. I think sometimes, I know I've described this when I've done stuff with kids in the past, it's kind of like herding cats. and there's always one that's running over that way. But the kids had a, you guys can come on up and sit, the kids can come on up and sit in the chairs at the front here if you'd like, and you can watch this video, and then we're going to have our children's sermon time together anyway, so you come on up now if you'd like to. And now, make sure you don't touch the projector, it's hot, okay? All right. And you guys can find chairs over here if you want to. You can sit together, you all been friends this week. Yeah, it's like I said, herding cats. All right, we'll give this a try and see how we go. You might want to shift over just a tad because I got to sit here. Okay. Very good. So we had lots of fun this week. You can see all the different events that took place. With the big ones, of course, we had the police department here and got the kids all to put handcuffs on. And some of our kids are so small that when they did this, of course, the handcuffs came right off, much to the chagrin of many of the leaders, I think, at some point. And the fire department were here, and they showed everything that was on the fire trucks. And as you can see, one of our themes for this week was courage in our community. encouraged by our community, and the police and the firemen, fire people that were here were really able to show us some of that aspect of things, and we'll be talking more about that as we get into the sermon. So we'll join together now in our next hymn, the children's hymn, and most of the kids are up here, so you can stay here, and we'll have a time together after the, I think it's the second verse of this. Let me just check. Is it second verse? Okay, so we'll sing the first two verses of Give Me Oil in My Lamp, number 655. Boys and girls, we did a lot of different things this week. One of the things we did was we sang that song. Do you think we could sing a little bit of that for everybody if we come on up here? And I can lead you. Come on up here and stand on the stairs. We'll see if we can sing our sheepy song, all right? Yeah, you come on up there too, Brett. Come on. We're going to sing. You going to sing with us? All right? Well, what do you got to do first? You got to put your ears up, right? Well, he's coming now. Here he is. Okay, let's see if we can do this. Just wanna be a sheep, bop, 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 bop. Just wanna be a sheep, bop, 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 bop. Cause they the Lord my soul to keep. Just wanna be a sheep, blah, 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 blah. Don't wanna be a hypocrite. Don't wanna be a hypocrite. Cause they're not hip to it. Don't wanna be a hypocrite. What do you want to be? Just want to be a sheep, bop, 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 bop. Just want to be a sheep, bop, 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 bop. And pray the Lord my soul to keep. Just want to be a sheep, bop, 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 bop. Good, that's good. Sit down, guys. That was great. Good job. We sang all kinds of different songs all week long and had a lot of fun with those. But I have a question for you. Again, I'm herding cats. It's okay. You know, one thing that I have to say, this year's VBS group, we have a lot of very younger kids. Some of them are preschool. Some are going to school this coming fall. And it's difficult when you're managing a group like this because there's always the odd cat that's over here or over there or they're running around. But, you know, in reflection, when we talk to the kids on their own, and I know that the parents and grandparents and whatnot that had them taking them home at night, they were retaining a lot of what was going on. So even though they tend to be kind of scattered, it looks like, and they're not used to sitting like we do here in church all nice and in focused and not moving around, they're still absorbing quite a bit. And I'm so pleased to hear and also talk with the kids about the many things that they did learn this week. So again, it may seem confusing to us, but remember, we were this old at one time, some of us. And there were times when we too ran around like this, and we had turned out okay, and we still remember a lot of good things. Boys and girls, I have a question for you. What is this?
A picture.
Picture frame, because it's not a picture. It's just a picture frame. What do you put in picture frames?
Pictures.
Pictures of what?
Pictures
is an obvious answer. Your family, just what? Okay, well, here's a picture of myself and two very good friends of mine. And this was taken a while ago, and this man here, he's been a real inspiration to me because he's been very sick over the last little while, but he's doing quite well right now and always had a very good positive attitude. So he's somebody that's been an inspiration to me and showed me different things. Who's in this picture? Who's in this picture? Somebody. Do you know who? Who's the somebody? It's, yeah, she's right back there. That's her. That's when I was graduating from school, and she came to support me. She was a good inspiration, too. Yeah, she is. Now, this picture is a big one. Any idea what this picture is a picture of? All my school friends. Yeah, that's right. Can you see me in that picture somewhere? Can you guys find me?
Right there?
Nope. Close. There's something very unique about my picture. Yeah, there's something very unique about my picture. You gotta find my picture. Nope. You're getting close. I'll give you a hint. Now, what's different about me in that picture?
You have a tie.
I have a bow tie on.
And you have a what?
And I took my glasses off of that picture. I went around, and they have pictures at Knox College dating back into the 1890s. And I looked back, and so I wore a bow tie for my graduation picture because I'm the first person to do that in 100 years. I checked every picture very closely. I wanted to be remembered for one thing. If I couldn't remember for anything else, I'm the guy in the bow tie. Well, these people are also very much of an inspiration to me because all the people in this picture are now ministers, and they're all doing the same kind of thing that I'm doing. So they're in a special place and a special picture frame, too. And I have one more picture I wanted to show you. Well, I actually have two. Any idea who these guys are? You can guess, maybe. Yep, you can guess. Any ideas? Those are my kids when they were much younger. They're about your age, a lot of your ages, in this picture. Oh, they're much older than that. They're much older now.
How old is the girl?
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you. Because then she'll get mad at me. And all three of these guys, this is taken about 25 years ago. I'll give you that much, okay? Yeah, give or take. But they're an inspiration to me as well. And the last picture I want to show you, hang on, Alex, is this one. Any idea who these people are? Could you guess who these people might be? They're special to me. They're special people to me. My father and Mrs. McCanch's father. And he's in the Navy, and he's a policeman. And they're very special and inspirations to me. The scripture that we're going to be reading today is taken from the book of Hebrews. And it says, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. That means we're surrounded by a whole lot of people. And there's a whole lot of people right here this morning surrounding us as well. And you know what? If you look back at all the people, look back at all these people back here, they've all been coming to church for a very, very long time, some longer than others. You can tell because there's snow on some roofs. And they're an inspiration to all of us because they've believed in Jesus and God for a very long time. And you can ask them any questions you want to, and I'm sure they'll answer them for you. Boys and girls, we're surrounded by a lot of people who know a lot about God. And what I'd like us to do is remember what we did when we were this week at BBS? When we said we were going to pray? What did we do when we said we were going to pray this week?
I don't know.
We folded our hands. Lacey, come on down here. We folded our hands, and we closed our eyes, and you can repeat after me when I say this prayer, okay? Let's close our eyes, bow our heads. Dear Jesus, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the people that we have in our life who can teach us about faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, boys and girls. There's a nursery available for anybody that wants to go down there, and the rest of the boys and girls can still stay up with us if they'd like to through the service. And we'll now sing the last two verses of our hymn. snapshot of what it was like with 22 kids and why all the leaders, when they got home every night, just kind of fell over and get ready for the next day. But as I said, despite the chaos that it looks like, these kids are paying attention. And I've shared this many times before we go into our scripture readings. I've shared this many times in the past, and I know I've done it with when I've talked to, I was a cub leader for a while, and I spoke to the parents group at that point, and I've spoken to parents from youth groups that I've led in the past. We never know when that moment is going to happen in a child's life. You can all think back to a moment when a teacher or a leader said something very unique or did something that stuck with you your entire life. And often, as I've discovered in my years that have gone by, often I have a child come up to me who's now a teenager or an adult themselves and say, "Do you remember when?" And I have no clue. I know, not at all. Because that moment took place for them. And that moment was just another in many moments that I have in my leadership time, and we have as parents, and we have as grandparents, and we have as leaders that you all are. And so in the chaos that goes on here, the moments still happen, and the children take home with them deep spiritual truths, and I believe that with all my heart. Let's bow our heads in prayer as we prepare to hear Scripture. God of wisdom, we eagerly seek your presence in our lives and in the world. And by your Spirit, we ask now that you'll speak to us your word. Give us grace to recognize the abundant signs of your care for us and the care that you present even in these little children. Help us to be freed by this unveiling of your word before us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Our responsive psalm today is the first two verses of Psalm 80, and then we jump down to verse 8 and carry on from there. This psalm is connected very directly to our reading from Isaiah. It's carrying on with that theme, if we like, that was a judgment of the people of Israel. It's talking very much about the vine and the harvest, and that Israel is, as we'll see in our reading in Isaiah, Israel is that vine. God is the keeper of that vine. And we'll read now responsively Psalm 80.
Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock.
You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up the right hand of Judah.
You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. The mighty cedars with its branches.
It sent out its branches to the sea.
And its shoots to the river.
Why then have you broken down its walls? Does it all fall in the path along the way of the street? The poor of the forest are the branches, and all of them would be able to feed on it.
Turn again, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see.
Have regard for this vine, the stock that your right hand planted. They have burned it with fire, they have cut it down, they may perish at the rebuke of your countenance.
But let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, the one whom you made strong for yourself.
Then you will never turn back on you. Give us light, and we will call on your name.
Restore us, O Lord God of hosts.
Let your face shine, and we may be saved.
Thank you, Holly. Our Old Testament reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 to 7, and this is probably one of the most well-known readings from Isaiah. There's a number of them, but this is one of those, and it's using the analogy of this vineyard that we've been reading about already in Psalm. And it's again talking about how there's an analogy being given by Isaiah about a vineyard and the produce of that and the person that's tending the vineyard. And then suddenly it takes a bit of a twist at verse 7 and says who the people are in this story, that Israel is the vineyard, God is the person taking care of them, and that suddenly it's not going so well. And it's because the Israel has been, or has been turning their hearts away from God. And let's read Isaiah 5, verses 1 to 7. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed. It shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. And our New Testament reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 11, the last few verses of that, beginning at verse 29, and then carrying on into chapter 12, the first two verses. And this is a carrying on from what we had read last week in Hebrews, talking about all of these different people, and certainly the children's story was focused on that idea that we are surrounded by such a great host of people. And Hebrews 11, the entire chapter very much deals with all of the different stories that we know, and some we may not be so much aware of the different people in the Old Testament and through the entire history up until this point, who have lived by faith. And that they are a measuring stone, and they are a guide for us in so many ways. And ultimately, our guide of faith is Christ. Hebrews 11, beginning at verse 29. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land, but when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Our gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 49. Jesus' words are very stark in so many ways in what we're about to read, but he's redefining his ministry here on this earth and what is to come. He is redefining a challenge for the disciples and truly for us to be aware of what is coming, not the second coming in particular, which many people want to encircle this with, but the times in which we live right now, to be aware of what we're doing right now and be aware of the time in which we live. Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 32. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to this earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in one household will be divided. 3 against 2 and 2 against 3, they will be divided. Father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, When you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is the word of God. Let's sing together next hymn number 755, Go Ye Into the World. Working with the children at our VBS, Kintail on the Road this week, I was inspired by all the sorts of things that children get up to when it comes to teaching about our faith and our Bible. A teacher was walking around observing her classroom of children when they were drawing pictures. As she got to one girl who was working very diligently and seemed very focused, she asked what the drawing was, and the girl replied, I'm drawing God. And the teacher paused and said, but nobody knows what God looks like. Without looking up from her drawing, the girl said, just a minute. She's drawing God. Oh, okay. Another teacher was testing the children in her Sunday school class to see if they understood the concept of getting to heaven. And she said to them, if I sold my house and my car at a big garage sale and gave all my money to the church, would that get me into heaven? No, the children answered. If I cleaned the church every day and mowed the yard and kept everything neat and tidy, would that get me into heaven? Again, the answer was no. Now she was smiling. Hey, they're getting it, she thought. Well, then if I was kind to animals and gave candy to all the children and loved my husband, would that get me into heaven? And she asked. And again, they answered no. She was just bursting with pride for them. And she continued, how then can I get into heaven? And one of the little five-year-old boys shouted out, you have to be dead. This one I thought of for the social club because they all play euchre down there. Another Sunday school teacher said to her children, we've been learning about how powerful the kings and queens were in biblical times, but there is a higher power, and who can tell me what that is? And little Alex yelled, I know, aces. Well, this week we explored the nature of courage and of faith, and how faith is demonstrated itself through acts of courage and whatnot. And of course, we had the police and the fire here to help us with that. And I want us to be considering courage and faith today. And as we do so, let's just bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for the children in our midst and in our care. Help us this morning to be reminded about the courage of faith in the community of believers, some of which are identified in Hebrews chapter 11 and 12. Your people and the family of Christian believers here at Burlington East, and also the people who are believers in that greater church around the world. And Lord, I pray the words of my mouth, the meditation of my mind will be acceptable for you and your people this day. In Christ's name, amen. One of my favorite scriptures comes from our reading today in Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, if it were up to me, we'd be spending several weeks, months maybe, just on those two chapters, Hebrews 11 and 12. There'd be 2 weeks and weeks of study, looking at all the different stories that are quoted, the people that are referenced, As it says itself, and we read in Hebrews 11, I don't have time to even go into all these different folks that are just named. There's such a great challenge put forth to us as Jesus followers, and that's what we were known as in that first century of our faith. We're now known as Christians. There's such a great challenge put forth in that cloud of examples that we can find in Hebrews 11 and 12. But as you know, we don't just pick my favorite scriptures when we're reading here on Sundays. We follow what's known as the Revised Lectionary. We do that for a couple of reasons as far as I'm concerned. Certainly it's a guideline for me. It is not something I'm married to, so to speak, and I have to do every week. But it does allow for us to have four scripture readings every Sunday. And coming here every Sunday, you know we have a Psalm and we have an Old Testament. We have a New Testament and a Gospel reading. And the lectionary is laid out in such a way that over the course of 3 years, and we're in year C right now, A, B, and C, in the course of that 3 years, we've covered the entire sort of gamut of Scripture. There's lots of things that we don't necessarily read, but we're covering basically cover to cover by doing those four readings every Sunday over a three-year cycle, and then it repeats again. This week, we spent a great deal of time with our children reading different Bible stories, some of which I'm going to identify here very quickly, but Old Testament stories. There was lots of fun that we had together. There was games, and there was arts and crafts, and we had bottle rocket launching going off here at one point, and we had visits, like I said, from the fire department and from the police department, and it was a great time of lots of fun was had. But there was always a theme for every day and a scripture story that surrounded that theme for that particular day. And I showed briefly some of the titles of those daily themes in our video presentation. And they were mostly Old Testament stories, not all of them though, but they were stories of courage and faith. And I'm connecting those two for this morning's purpose alone, because we tend to think of courage as something of courageous acts and something that's in action. And our faith is something that is an act. Faith is something that should be in action. So our courage comes from our faith, and our faith comes from our courage. And this is all founded in that example that we have in Christ. Some of the stories that we covered this week are not necessarily stories that we might remember outside of Sunday school time. Some of the scripture readings, they extended us beyond those standard stories that we as adults often can recall, but are very important nonetheless in the development of our faith. And that's what the purpose of all of this was. We're developing faith in these children. We're developing a beginning, a real kernel, a real beginning of something in their faith. And as I said earlier this morning, we never know when that moment is going to take place in their lives. It looks chaotic, and it looks like they're just running around and not picking up anything at all. At times it can. Other times, I got to tell you, there were times when I would come in and it was dead silence in the room. The kids were just absolutely fixed on what was happening at that particular moment. And another moment, they're running all over the place, and they're up the walls, and all. I was in here, I think it was on Friday, getting the projector set up, and, you know, typically in the sanctuary here, when it's empty and it's real quiet, and there was this thunder I could hear suddenly, and I thought, oh, the rain's starting. No, it was the children coming up the stairs to run through here, because they were playing sardines. And, I got to say, I let them come in here, and I let them kind of run around a bit. I kept an eye on them so they were, A, safe, and that nothing was getting wrecked or any of that sort of thing, because I wanted them to be comfortable in this space that we call sanctuary. We're teaching these children what it is to be before God, and it should, we know, as they develop, we want this place to be, this space to be something very special and awe-inspiring. But at the same time, especially in the world that we live today, we want the children to be comfortable in here as well. This is a place where they can sit and experience God and not just associate it with shh all the time. And I know that's important at times too, but anyway, for that time they were kind of running around here and it was like crazy. But we talked about some of the stories that we talked about showing up. Abram was called by God, and the children heard all about that. And what they were learning from that was that they would trust that find this place, this church, a place where they are valued and accepted as who they are and not what we're trying to force them into to be. There's an interesting thing, as you know, I'm on Facebook a lot and I tend to follow different things that are going on. And there was a picture of a teenager posted by someone this week, and they're all covered in tattoos and piercings. And it said that underneath the caption was, "Christians today may not look like you expect." often we expect Christian people to have a certain look about them. And I'm a perfect example of that. I mean, I've changed over the years. I've gotten bigger than I used to be in so many ways and a little whiter up here. But when I first, as I've said many times, when I first came to church, I did not look like somebody that would come to church. I had big long hair and cut off shorts and no shoes, and all my friends were the same. And yet we had a deep faith. And the great thing that happened in that particular congregation was they just accepted us for who we were at the time. Now, eventually we put shoes on, and eventually we started to dress a little nicer and whatnot, because we had a respect that came for the space that we were in. And we learned that from observation, not necessarily getting knocked on the head. And this was one of the lessons that came out for the children, particularly on Monday, was that this is a place where they can be themselves. This is a place where they can openly and honestly grow in their faith and be valued by God and by us. We learned about Joseph forgiving his brothers as well this week, and the transformative, big words for us, transformative power of the forgiveness that we have in the relationships in our lives, and how Joseph, despite the fact, and we know mostly, I would say, from Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, we know the story of how Joseph could have easily killed and punished all his brothers, but he didn't. He forgave them. He didn't just forgive them because they were his brothers. He forgave them because of the love that God had showed him in his life and the wonderful relationship that he had with God and his family. We learned this week the courage to stand. Stand up for what you believe in and stand up for what others believe in. When we learned about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I had learned those words when I was much younger as shake the bed, make the bed, and in the bed you go, and that's how I could remember their names. I have lots of them, folks. But they give them confidence to be able to stand up for what they truly believe in. And we're inspiring a belief in God and the stories that we were telling and hoping that through the story of Daniel and these three characters, and we watched a VeggieTales cartoon about it as well. And the kids were fixed on that cartoon. I mean, they all love VeggieTales, I know. But the lesson was there, and they picked up what was being said. We spent time as well learning about Esther and how Esther defended God's people, and it was difficult for her to do so. And we've talked about Esther and Haman here with the children this year in particular, and the tradition that goes along with that and the Jewish festivals that they have. And we all held pictures of Haman up and booed at him because he was such an evil guy. And Esther, we cheer for her because of her courage that she had because of her faith in God. We learned as well about Peter and Cornelius this week. And Peter and Cornelius, they're a New Testament story. And we may not all be quite as familiar with Peter and Cornelius. The book of Acts is a book that doesn't get read that often. Certainly, I would find in my experience with Christian people, the book of Acts is full of all kinds of quirky things that are happening. People are getting raised from the dead. People are having visions. Miracles are happening all over the place. And we kind of put it off to the side and don't read those wonderful stories that take place. But there's also a story in there with Peter and Cornelius, because Peter's learning how to accept and celebrate change that takes place. Something all many churches today could learn, I suppose, and we like to teach this to our children, that it's not always has to be the way it's always been. And that's always hard, especially the older we get. We like things to kind of be the way they are. We find comfort in that, and I understand that. But Peter, if you remember the story of Peter in particular, Cornelius has a vision, a dream to go and get Peter and bring him to his presence. And Cornelius is he's in the Roman army. So he's very much opposed in political stand anyway to the people of God, you know, over in Jerusalem, because as I've said many times, Rome had gone in and basically invaded the area and were occupying them by a police state. And so the Jewish community and the early Christian community didn't like them too much because of the laws they had and whatnot. And yet Cornelius has this dream to go and get Peter, a devout Jewish Christian. And Peter, as this is happening, has a dream, and this is the story sometimes we might remember from Sunday school, about all of the different animals and whatnot that are on this great huge plate or sheet that's in front of him. And a lot of them are not, you know, as a Jewish person, they couldn't eat these different foods. And God tells them in the dream, eat anything you want. You're allowed to do that. And Peter actually argues with God. He has this dream or vision three times. Because, wait a minute, I've been raised a Jewish person. I can't eat non-kosher food. That's just not the way it's supposed to be. And God says, it is supposed to be that way. And then when Cornelius, people come and invite Peter over, Peter wouldn't normally have gone there because he's, again, one of the Roman soldiers, basically. And yet he goes, because Cornelius is a Christian person at this point. And they can be together. They can accept each other in their differences. And we have differences. We can see that in our world today, just in our church, if we want to look at the various denominations that we have in our world. And we can drive up any street here in Burlington, and I'll bet you we cross at least two different churches or more as we drive up and down almost any busy street. You go north, you're going to cross the Baptist church up there, and there's a Lutheran church just over this way. There's a Roman Catholic church down this way. There's a CRC church just over there. It seems odd that there's just all these different slate divisions and whatnot. And yet, we are all Christian people, and this is the message that we're teaching the children. We worship together. We worship in a house of God, and we accept these things that happen in our lives. In our last day, we talked about the great commission that we have to spread the gospel and to have a deep faith. And that comes out very clearly for me, at least, in that great challenge that's put forth to us in Hebrews 12. Jesus had the courage to do what he had to do with the cross, not because he simply knew the future, because that's sometimes what people think. Well, he knew the future. He was going to, you know, raise again from the dead. So why not? Because his human condition, the part of him, as we talk about in our Apostles' Creed, he suffered under Pontius Pilate. He died on that cross. He had to trust that God the Father was truly looking after him for what was ahead. What was ahead of Christ in that walk was not just the cross, but it was a death that was horrible, a death that was painful, and yet he walked joyfully towards that. It says so in Hebrews. Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. It's a very simple statement in so many ways. It puts it in a very kind of concise way. But he still had to live that life. He still had to walk that road that he knew that was ahead of him. Hebrews 11 and 12 challenge us to understand what faith is in real terms in our real lives. And Hebrews 11 begins by defining faith. We talked about that briefly last week. Here's the definition. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So there's two components to faith. The assurance of things hoped for, followed by a life action. So we have an assurance of things hoped for. And number two, the conviction of things not seen, what is ahead of us. We have a conviction towards that. And Jesus truly applied these two principles, as was mentioned at the end of Hebrews 12. He, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. He had an assurance of something that was going to happen beyond where I am now. And he is the conviction of things not seen. He knew that he would one day be seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Our faith takes us places, and the children this week experienced some of that in the stories and lessons that we went through. We have to always remember the two points that Hebrews tells us in the lives given as examples throughout Hebrews 11 and 12. The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It's important, especially when we're facing our situations, all of us. Sometimes we have illness ahead of us that we just, how can I bear to go through this? Sometimes we have situations with our family and friends. How can I bear to move forward? Sometimes our living conditions are such that, how can I live in this? Because we have an assurance of things hoped for. We are convicted by the things that are not yet seen. That's called faith. We have faith that our God is with us. We have faith that our God is walking beside us. And we're clearly, in this week, trying to convey that, not just in words, but in action. So there's a connection, congregation. These children that are here, the 22 kids we had this week, and I was thinking about this in the last couple of months, all the children that we've had baptized over the last 5 years in particular in this church, our responsibility as grown-up adult people and members of the family of God is to live a life that is driven by the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen, to teach these children what it is to have faith in God, to teach one another and support one another what it is to have faith in God. A man whispered, "God, speak to me," and a meadowlark sang, but the man did not hear. So the man yelled, "God, speak to me," and a thunder rolled across the sky, but the man did not listen. The man looked around and said, "God, let me see you," and a star shined brightly, but the man did not see. And the man shouted, "God, show me a miracle," and a life was born. But the man did not notice. So the man cried out in despair, "Touch me, God, and let me know you are here." Whereupon God reached down and touched the man, But the man brushed the butterfly away and walked on. Sometimes God answers us, and we don't always pay attention. Another thing I saw posted this week, faith sometimes requires us to pay attention, that God is actually working in our lives, and sometimes we just don't even notice. We have to take responsibility in that sense. Live a life that is driven by the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, made available to us through the life of Christ. Thanks be to God that we can experience the courage of faith no matter what and where we are. We just have to always be looking for it and ready. Amen. Mindful of an abundance that which we've received in Christ, we now offer ourselves and our gifts to God. Thank you for the many blessings you provide us each and every day. And Lord, we ask that you will bless this, our offering, to your work and to your glory. And we pray this all in Christ's mighty name. Amen. Please be seated. As we come before God now with our prayers of the people, we have lots of things to be thankful for. Janet in our presence this morning, and that's answer to prayers, and we thank God so much for working there. We know that Jack Rivett was out yesterday. I saw him, and he's got a back brace on, but he's up and walking around. Another great answer to prayer. We do want to make sure we hold continuing folks. Isabel Poland is still recovering from surgery she's had. Wynn Sims is still recovering from his stroke, and we want to remember the Simpson family, Shirley Simpson and her family, for the loss of Bill, and the funeral was yesterday regarding that. We know there are many people in our congregation right now dealing with different types of illnesses, cancers and whatnot that have been going around, and yesterday Amanda Piper had mentioned that Todd, her husband, is going in for treatment for some cancer work, Seems like it's quite involved, and they'll be going tomorrow to get that whole outline of that. And those of you who've been through that, you know, there's classes and whatnot, lots of information. And so when we're praying for that, we're praying not only just for healing, also for clarity of mind, that they can understand all the stuff that gets dumped on. These doctors sometimes just kind of, you know, pour it all in front of you, and then you're kind of sitting there in shock and trying to absorb it, and there's lots to think about. So we want to remember Todd Piper. And we also want to be thankful for all the leaders and volunteers that took place in our enterprise this week. And we want to be praying for these children, not just that this event took place, and there it is, it's over, thank goodness, but that it's begun a kernel of growth in their life, a kernel of that faith that they need. As we're praying, I will say God of mercy, and you can call back, hear our prayer. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we pray, we come before you in prayers now. We pray for the people, as it says in our bulletin. We, Lord, think of your church in the world today. There's so much going on, and it seems like we're falling far further and further back, and there seems sometimes discord among denominations. There's problems between different faith bases and whatnot, and Lord, we just pray that you can bring a unity and common commitment to share the good news of Christ in our world today through your church around this world. God of mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the world, Lord, and prod us and others to engage in acts of mission and service that furthers the kingdom and honors the care that you've given us and the care that you have for this world, that we are, in fact, your hands and feet in so many ways. So prod us to engage in these things around this world. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for those who hold authority in governments all around this world, governments at city levels and provincial levels in our country here, nationally, and then there's all sorts of different places around this world that things are not going well. Things are going sometimes not bad, but there's still lots and lots of issues. We ask, Lord, you will enable policymakers to enact justice, to transform places of violence and conflict into havens of respite and peace. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we especially come before you this morning. We pray for those in our family here who are suffering from the burden of illnesses and distress and different kinds of pain that they may be experiencing, whether that's physical or emotional or even spiritual. We pray, Lord, for the darkness that sometimes can come upon folks when they're suffering all of these different things. The night times of despair, I think, is the way poems sometimes put it. And that, Lord, you can be that light for people in healing their illnesses, and that this disease that seems to have gripped all of us in one way or another, someone in our family, some friend, someone else that we know, seems to be dealing with cancer in some respect. We pray, Lord, for easement. We pray, Lord, for guidance. We pray, Lord, for healing. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we also remember those who have died and have joined that great cloud of witnesses that we've read about in Hebrews. We pray for their souls, but we also really pray, Lord, for their families and friends that are left having to deal with their loss. We think of the Simpson family in particular as of yesterday, and I know that the Scott family are dealing with some stuff tomorrow. And we pray, Lord, that you will give them the mercies they need in their grief and in their sense of loss. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Creator, you inspire us to trust in the things that we cannot see, to ground our faith in the promises that you give to us. Give us clarity of your vision and help make us ready to serve you as we await your return. We ask all this through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Join together now in our final hymn number 638, Take Time to Be Holy. We'll just sing verses 1 and 2 of this song. And I want us to really take this to heart, because this is the first steps of faith development. And certainly with the chaos of our kids, every morning we took time to be holy by having our worship services here. This is our time to be taking time to be holy, and you have time through the week. You can do the same. Let's sing verses 1 and 2, 638, Take Time to Be Holy. Thank you. want to especially thank Helena this morning for leading us in music and song, and she'll be here with us again next Sunday as Renata is away for this week. She's going on a camping trip and all this heat and loveliness, and that'll be lovely for her. But thank you so much for joining us and helping us. God is present to us, calling us to attend to our lives and our world. We are confident in God's provision and direction as we go forth inspired this morning, seeking the reconciliation in places of division, honoring the plight of those on the margins, and filled with gratitude for God's promises. The challenge of courage and faith go with us this week. And now may the God of creation and restoration give you confidence in the daily tasks set before you. The God of love and compassion assure you of your heritage as children of God. And the God of guidance and inspiration mold you in God's image. And the blessing of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.